received that we was able to carry on. But how many knows, we're not going to let that happen. Y'all are not going to be in a place to where you're not going to hear. And I'm not going to be in a place, or whoever's up here, that is not going to have the utterance of God. Why? Because I know it is the will of God, and we have the power and authority, right? So just be sure that you're praying before services, whatever it is. And I'm sure Monty wants you to pray for him. He wouldn't be good if he didn't, right? So I definitely want you praying for me and Scotty and whoever is ministering. All right, I told y'all how to study with the Strong's Concordance, right? Y'all remember that? How that if you don't have the money to buy one, just to so I could tell you, I don't use my phone for that. But they have apps, Bible apps, Strong's Concordance, and different ones, study apps and things that you can download for free on your phone if you don't have the money or don't want to go buy one. But then also, how many know y'all know about cross-reference? Monty, April, Sandy, Travis, that's it. All right, what this is, now my Amplified don't have one, but my King James does. Right in the middle of the two columns, there's a little column right here. Do y'all's Bible have that? The little column? Some will be at the very bottom, some will be on the side, but mine and that one is in the middle. Well, when you look at, when you're reading a chapter or something and you look over there to that middle, to that little thing there, whatever, it's got numbers and it's got A, B, C, D, whatever, you know, it is. And what that is, you say you come across a word, say fasting, just for an example. You're reading your chapter, you come across a word fasting that sticks out to you and you think, well, wonder what that is or what that means or whatever. Well, you look in that little column and whatever number chapter you're, say it's in verse 9. Over here, you find verse 9, if it has one, verse 9, and then by that word, it'll have like A, B, C, whatever it is. It'll say Luke 13, 48. So then you turn over to Luke 13, 48, and it will have another scripture about fasting. So a lot of times this will help explain. This is how I'm actually doing Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8. All of those are direct cross-references to each other. So each one tells a little bit different story or a little different word or whatever. I would not, if I was you, I would not do that over two or three times. Say you cross-reference that, you go to one place, and then it'll have another cross-reference. You take that one to wherever. Reason being, after so long, it can get totally off the subject. See, do y'all understand what I'm saying? Okay, just to help y'all in y'all study, that goes a long ways in studying. Now, I'm not going to recap, but we're going to start here at Luke 8, 4 through 13, Beth. I actually thought and hoped we would be a lot further. And this morning and this week, whenever I was studying this, it's like God is saying today we're going to drill a well. I told y'all last week or the week before we're going to milk the cow. Well, how many knows drilling a well goes way deeper than milking the cow? But it's all digging. Because Jesus himself is the one that told this parable. And he told his disciples, he said, if you don't get this one, if you don't understand this one, how can you understand any of the parables? So this is kind of like the granddaddy parable. And he says in here, he says, this is how the kingdom operates, the kingdom of God. Now, where does the Bible say that the kingdom of God is once you get born again? In here. So that's what he's talking about. He's talking about this is how the kingdom operates. The kingdom of God comes inside of you. Then the word goes inside of you. Faith is made and you go forth spreading the kingdom. Right? So here in Luke chapter 8, verse 4. I guess I need to get over there because I'm in Mark. We're still going to be talking about stony ground this morning. I felt like, y'all remember how the first of the year I told you God told me personally that, or I felt like in my spirit that he said that I was going to go further this year, I would go higher. And I felt like he was speaking it to this whole church, that we was going to go higher this year. And God has greatly been honoring us by giving us revelation of this parable. You don't see things on your own. I don't care if you read it 120 times. Without him quickening, enlightening, making it alive to you, you don't see it. And it's like, God, how did I not see the stuff? I can't tell you how many times I've read this parable. I mean, every one of us, if you do your chapters, you read it at least once every year. And I'm like, God, I never saw the things in here. So God is greatly honoring us, but I felt like we all haven't got the first point yet. So if, when I'm talking today and reading the scriptures and all of that, Don't let the enemy or your flesh tell you, gosh, I've heard that. Can't we move on? Exercise a little love toward your brother and sister because they might not have it yet. Right? That's what love does. It prefers others over itself. If I've got it, then I can sit there and greatly rejoice. And when somebody reads the scriptures or whatever, I'm like, woo, yeah, that's good. Continue on. Not, I've heard it. No, you ain't got it yet. Why? Because when you get it, joy comes. If joy don't come, you ain't got it. You might have it up here, but it ain't got in here yet. So here in Luke chapter 8, verse 4, and when much people were gathered together and we were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. We said they gave no value to it. The Bible says that knowledge, anyway, I can't quote the scripture. It says trodden down means no value. It says, and the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it, and other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. We said that a willing heart makes a hearing ear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Now we done been over how that 1 Peter, I think 1:23-28, somewhere around in there. It says we're being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. That means the word of God, it never changes, never grows old, decays, nothing. So nothing wrong with the word. It says that, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now, maybe Matthew that says that they didn't understand it. How many knows you can understand it? If you don't understand something, a lot of people, they won't read it. They try to read it one time because they don't understand, they just let it go. How many knows you can understand it, but you may have to stay with it for a while, right? So he goes on here. He says in verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. Right here, faith is made. How do I know that? Because joy came. That's why I told you a while ago, if you're sitting there thinking, oh, I've done heard that, can we move on? You ain't got it. Because if faith is really there, every time the anointed word is, it just energizes you every time you hear it. It's like you can't hear it enough. And he goes on and he says, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. That word temptation, it means trials or troubles or testing. Now, look at Hebrews 11:1. We could all probably quote this, but we're going to read it. Because let me tell you something. If you don't get this, you will never get it. How many knows they don't build the frame of a car around the engine? Well, they do. They build the frame first, and they'll put the engine in there later. When you're going to build a house, you don't slap some boards up there. What do? You dig a footer. Right? So everything has to be this part, then this part. The Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. But how many knows you got to start with the foundation? So the first ones, they heard the word, but it didn't do anything to them because of no value. Therefore, they bear no fruit. Why? Number one, faith never even got started. But here with the stony ground, faith has started. Why? Because they received the word, right? With joy, so that tells me faith is there, but they don't have any roots yet, so therefore it's kind of like a little sprout, right? So we go over here, let me get over here, to Hebrews 11. Just put it up for us, Beth, I'll read it from there. It says, now faith is the substance. What is this? This is substance. That's what faith is. It says, now faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. That word means confidently expected. Right? He says, for the evidence, hoped for, the evidence of things that you cannot see. In here, faith, when joy comes, faith comes. You hear the word, faith is made, joy comes, and it's your evidence. Just as like if you have witnesses in a courtroom, that faith, that believing in your heart, to you, you believe it. But out here, you don't see it. Because now if you see it, then there's no longer faith needed, right? You've got it. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now look at Romans 10. I have a lot of scripture this morning. I'm going to try to go kind of quick. Verse 17. Oh, that ain't right. That's Acts. It says, now the scripture's up above this. He's talking about the children of Israel, how they heard the word, but not all of them heard and all that. Verse 17. It says, so then faith cometh how? By hearing, but not with the ears on the side of your head. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and what kind of hearing? And hearing by the word of God. When you begin to study this and look at this, it says the Christos. What that means, by the anointed word. How many knows the Bible says that a word is good when? When it's in its season. Every word ain't anointed. Every word is not in its season sometimes. But he says here, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Now remember what we just got through reading. They heard the word, they received the word with joy, one place says, other place says gladness. So therefore, faith has come because they heard the word, it got in their hearts. Sometimes you got to hear it and 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 hear it. And I can't tell you if you hear the same word 121 times, faith will come. That's going to be determined by your own heart. So if we keep our hearts clean, we stay in the presence of God, and we stay soft and moldable and pliable in His presence, like He said in Psalm 37, delight ourselves in the Lord, we're going to have a hearing ear because we're going to have a willing, soft, pliable heart. So He says that's how faith comes. Do you know there is so many people in the kingdom that they don't even know how faith comes? They don't even know yet they're supposed to walk and live by faith. You see, a lot of people think we just use faith when we want something. We want our light bill paid, or because He said He would meet all of our needs, or we need a new car, or we need a husband, or we need our kids. No, we live this way day in, day out, 7 days a week, all the time, in the finished work of what Jesus has done. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. So that I can't just turn on faith and want to hear a word every time I need something. Because I've got to live by this or I cannot be pleasing to Him all the time. My doing may not always be right, but if my believing is right, that'll change my doing in a little while. But because I'm believing right, do you realize that's imputed unto me unto righteousness and God is well pleased? Even though my doing ain't all straightened out yet. Why? Because I'm walking and I'm living by faith in what He's done. So He says there, faith comes by hearing. If you're going to get faith, you have got to hear the Word of God. You have to. There's no other way, no other scripture that I can find, and I have read the whole Bible a few times, and I could have missed something, but I can't find it, that there's any other thing that pleases God other than faith, and no other way that faith comes than by hearing the Word. All right. So let's go to... Let's see what I got right here. I wrote, when the word of God went past your outer ears and got into your heart, you had to act on that word. Now let's look at James 2. Right here is a big part where people leave this out. And without it, you're not going to bring forth fruit. I say, where is James? But I found it. Verse 14. It says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Can faith alone save you? Can believing alone save you? No. He goes on, 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it has not works. Now, we're not saved by the works of the law. You understand? But this is a law right here that cannot be overridden. If you got faith, you're going to have works. And if you don't have works, you don't got faith. That's just the way it is. He says, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. He says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. He says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Now go over to Ephesians 2. Told you I had a lot of scripture. That's a good thing, though. Verse 8. He says, for by grace are you saved. How? Through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Grace has already brought everything to us and done everything for us, right? Jesus is not going to be crucified again. He's not going to be whipped again with a cat of nine tails to pay the price for our healing or anything to do with it. It's already finished, right? Grace. God's mercy and goodness did that for us. But it says, for by grace are you saved, but you obtain it how? Through your faith, through your believing in what he's done. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now, let's go to Romans, back to Romans 10. I just wanted you to see that we're saved by grace through faith. We're not saved by our works. That was what the law was. You had to do everything right. God has made a covenant with Jesus, right? He cut a covenant with Jesus. That way it could never be broken or anything. In the Old Testament, you had to do what God said to be blessed. In the New Testament, if you receive Jesus, the blessing is on Jesus, which comes on you. But now there's laws of the kingdom that if you try to operate outside them, you stop that blessing. And you can actually open yourself up to the devil and to curse. But once you get born again, the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and adds no sorrow automatically comes on us by faith, right? So it's not by our works, but yet our faith has to have works that goes along with it. So here in Romans 10, verse, we're going to start for time's sake is why we're doing so little of this. Verse 6, it says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The what? Word. Remember what we're studying on. The word is nigh thee or near thee. Where? Even in thy mouth. There's going to be your works to go along with your faith. You didn't. If you're born again, you did not get born again without believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. That's what he says here. Let's go on with this. He says, the word of God, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy what? Has to be at two places. Faith has to be in your heart and it has to be in your mouth. He goes on, he says, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth, not the head. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made, he says, unto salvation. Beth, put up Colossians 2, please. That I think it's 5 through 7. He says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now, how did we receive him? We heard the word about salvation, right? As good as something. Some kind of the word of God that we heard. Okay, our hearts finally became willing, you know, because we didn't all the first time. It got down in our heart. We believed it in our heart, and we confessed him with our mouth, right? He says right here that the steadfastness of your faith, For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. The Bible says that the just shall walk and live by faith. How did you receive him? Because he says right here, the same way you received him is the same way you're going to have to walk in him. You're going to have to hear the word, get it in your heart, faith comes, and you're going to have to say it out your mouth. See, there's some people, when faith comes, they got faith, it's sprouted, just like we read there in the scripture there in Luke 8. But they ain't saying nothing. Oh, y'all too quiet. They ain't saying nothing. When you get there and faith comes, you better get really good at talking. Talking to the situation, talking to your circumstances, talking to your body. Why? Because you believe, therefore you speak. That's how you got born again. You believed in your heart, confessed with your mouth. Right here he says, as you have received him, so walk in him. I walk and I live by faith. I don't go by sight. I don't go by how it feels. Right? Anything outside of faith is going to fall into the five physical senses. What you see, what you feel, what you hear. Right? Y'all understand what I'm talking about? Okay. Go over to, let me finish reading that. Verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now notice this. Rooted. Y'all remember the verse we just read about the stony ground? They got no root. We just found here a problem and how to solve it. He says the same way you got born again is the same way you walk in him, and that's going to help you get rooted. Because stony ground don't got no roots. He says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Excuse me. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:13. I may read this one in the Amplified. I can't remember right now if that's the one or not. What did I say? 4? 13. This is the Apostle Paul talking. He says, we having the same spirit of faith. He says, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. Now he's quoting somebody that believed. And they spoke and they wrote it down. He said, we also believe and therefore speak. Now listen to it in Amplified. Yet we have the same spirit of faith as he had who wrote, I have believed and therefore have I spoken. We too believe and therefore we speak. This is, you cannot help it. When faith is there, joy comes and you want everybody to know it. How many of y'all in here, you got born again, you believed in your heart, confessed with your mouth, you got born again, and kept it all to yourself? No. Oh, no, I'm telling you. We didn't have to get rid of our friends, which we didn't have a lot, but, I mean, our drug heads that come over every weekend to party and stuff. We did not have to get rid of them. We did not have to separate ourselves from them. I tried to stay friends with them. I had this girl that was my friend, you know, or I guess, I don't know, drug head, whatever you want to call them anyway, associate or something. She come over, and I had got saved, and she didn't know it because I hadn't seen her in a little while. She come over, you know, and she's doing what she does and everything, and I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden, I just totally inside. I said, you ever think about God? She looked at me, and she said, nah. That's the last time she came to my house. I didn't get rid of her, and I'm totally innocent. I'm not trying to say, you need born again, you need to quit doing all. All I said was, you ever think about God? The Bible says no man comes to the Father lest he's drawn. When you're drawn, you think about him. You think about how your life is and how it needs to change and you need to go to church or you need to do this, that. She wasn't even being drawn. But the devil got so scared of me just asking her, do you ever think about God? He made sure she never came back. So I don't understand this. People saying they got to get rid of this person and that. No, you don't. Just let your light shine from a real true heart and they'll either get in there with you or they'll get out. But the thing about it for you is you are so excited. It's like you have found the diamond in the rough, and you want everybody to find the same diamond. It's that way about your healing. It's that way about your finances. Everything. Why? Because every time faith comes,
joy comes. Every single time. And you want to tell it and tell it. I'm telling you, when I was believing God for them glasses, I'm telling you, I have never in my life experienced anything. Such joy. I just think about them glasses while I'm watching TV. Think about, and I start laughing over there. I can't help it. And Scott's like, what are you doing? I was thinking about my Mavericks. I about wore him out. But he kept trying. That's good, Trace. That's good. Praise God, you know, or whatever. He never did say, why don't you just shut up? Now, he might have felt like it, but he's bigger than that. You know, he knows better than that. Why? I can't help it. To me, they're real. They're here. I'm so thankful. Y'all not saying nothing. I'm so thankful. How can you be thankful for something you ain't got yet? You're not. You're still, send it, God. Send it, God. No. When you're thankful, you already have it, but you just don't see it in your hand yet. That's why it's by faith, and that's your evidence that it's on its way. So you can't help but keep talking. So if you ain't talking, maybe you ain't got faith yet. And see, I'm telling you, Christian people, when if you ever say they ain't got faith, oh, good Lord, they about want to burn you at the stake. How dare you say I don't have faith? You don't know my heart. Oh, we hear your mouth. Good or bad. Y'all remember here a while back whenever Scotty was preaching, I don't remember what he's preaching on, and he said something about, I know how Teresa feels because I hear it every day. Y'all remember that? Some of you did, some of you didn't. He didn't even realize he said it. About hurt my feelings. I about want to take him home, spank him, Johnny. But I told the Lord, I said, I'm sorry, God. I didn't realize I had been slipping like. How many know sometimes you don't realize it? But God is faithful. He'll quicken you on the inside, and if you still ain't getting it, somebody will tell you. Hopefully we get it before somebody comes and reads our mail, right? I should be the only one reading my mail, but God's faithful. You know, and I thought, okay, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, I have been slipping in that area, and I'm going to change it. He will never again hear how I feel. The only way he's going to know something's wrong with me if I'm laying on the floor and I'm about dead, and they say, what's the matter with you? Y'all ain't saying nothing. I'm telling you. This is the way of the kingdom. Because see, as long as I keep talking about how I feel, where I hurt, how I hurt, how often I hurt, y'all not saying nothing. I'm telling you from my own experience. Y'all all heard him say it. Some of you don't remember it. I remember it. And I tell the Lord, that will never happen, God. Why? Why would I stop that? There's life and death in the power of my tongue. The Bible says that I'm going to eat the fruit that my mouth produces. Well, my mouth is going to produce whatever's in my heart in a seed. Good or bad, it doesn't matter. It's a law. You cannot change it. You cannot override it. When your gas tank gets full of gas, gas starts coming out, even if your gas hand don't work. If your gas tank gets full of sugar, sugar's going to start. That's not good. Sugar's going to start coming out. Why? Because it's full of sugar. If your heart is full of fear and doubt and unbelief and your God, your circumstances is bigger than your God or your body or your situation, that's what's going to come out your mouth. So that tells me, when I heard him say that, that tells me, Tracy, you're not in faith. You're not in it. So if you want to get in it and you want to bear fruit, I've got to change. Why? Because this is the way of the kingdom. This is how it operates. God don't change it for nobody. Let me go on here. Where are we at? Okay. I say no. All right. Back to Luke 8. Verse 13. It says, they on the rock, which when they hear, they received the word. They valued it. They took hold of it. They said, that's for me. Faith was like sprouted because joy came. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in the time of testing, trial, or temptation, tribulation, they fall away. Now, look at Mark 4, 16. And these are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction, which means pressure, or persecution, which means to flee in one place, arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended.
Now, look at verse 5. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. When I read that, I thought, oh, man, when the heat is on. They made a song out of that. Y'all ever remember it? Heat is on. Y'all remember that song? Y'all didn't watch the same TV show I did. But when I got right there, I thought, I see the problem. Why? The heat's going to come to everybody. Everybody that hears and receives the word, the heat is coming. Travis, y'all notice his shirt? I bought him that shirt.
No, it's a little by faith, a little bit of it. His shirt says, Peacemaker.
What's he want to bust him in the head? But on the inside, he's a peacemaker. I bought him that shirt. I told him a while ago. I said, you know what happens every time you wear that shirt? He said, I want to bust somebody. I said, no. I said, the devils run after you when you have that shirt. Why? Are you really a peacemaker? Let's see. That's kind of like one time I've been listening to a message, and y'all have heard the story. Scotty and Travis have been at work, and he still lived at home. They're coming down the hall. That's funny right now. Scotty's not laughing. They're coming down the hall, and I come out of the bedroom and meet him at the hall, and I went, whap, on Scotty's face, and he was like stunned, you know. I said, I just want to see if you was walking in the love of God or not. He said, you better be glad I am. Well, guess what? Every time he wears that shirt, why? The devil can't let him wear that shirt and that shirt be true. Y'all not saying nothing. Can't let him wear that shirt and it be true. Why? That tears up and destroys his kingdom. The Bible says overcome evil how? With good. It says if we're the children of God, we're supposed to be what? Peacemakers. So I told him, every time you wear that shirt, all the devils in hell, they're going to come after you. He started on. Sure enough, I'm not going to tell that part. I got to get on with this. Get off the stories here. Where are we at? Which verse? Let me see what I got here. Let's see, I got 16. No, what was it? 5, wasn't it? 5 and 6. 6. But when the sun was up, or heat is on, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Now look at verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now look at John 15. We're going to help solve this root problem. Do y'all remember how? That's okay. We're going to go back over it. I have to go back over it myself. John 15, verse 1, red letters, Jesus talking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And that's what we're after, ain't it? Fruit of the word of God in these parables. For without me, you can do nothing. Now notice this. If a man abide in me, he is cast forth, not this one, as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. This one. If you abide in me, and what? My words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That him abiding in you, you abiding in him and his words abiding in you, that is the qualifier for you asking what you will. You do that, you won't ask amiss. You do that, you won't ask something that's not his will. Why? You'll have to be disciplined like Jesus. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. So when I'm in him and his words are in me, that keeps me in his will, and the things that I desire that I'm going to ask for, it's his will, so he does it. But he says here, let me read that one in Amplified. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain. That's the problem the stony ground has, right?
They don't have any root. Why don't they have any root? Because when persecution or affliction, trouble comes, on account of that word, they quit. I'm tell you right now, I was better off before I got saved. I've thought that before. I'm telling you, I don't know why. I reckon just pressure of life or something. And I would think, if I can just get to Brother Brad and let him pray for me, I'll be okay. I can't do this Christian thing. I just can't do this Christian thing. I don't think that way anymore. Why? I'm having to develop roots. His word is having to remain in me. I can't give it up. I remember Scotty whenever. Now, right off the bat, he has such poverty thinking. God began to deal with him and show him things about financial prosperity and different things like that. Where with me, he started with other things. But I mean, from the beginning nearly, Scotty got the word in his heart. I would hear this and hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth. I'm rich, I'm rich, Teresa, I'm rich. And I thought, you so doggone broke, you can't even pay attention. What do you mean you rich? Why? Carnally minded. I ain't got it yet. But he's running around telling everybody how rich he is. And I mean, he's driving. His truck has a car, what is that, drive whatever? Drive shaft, and I mean, it's rusted out all over. He ain't got no air conditioners, you know. You turn that little window like this, because what is it, 70-something? You turn that little window there like that. That's your air conditioner, you know, 105 outside, you know, or whatever it is, the case is. And talking about how rich he is, D. Everywhere, to everybody. And then, lo and behold, he goes and he buys scripture stickers and puts them all over the back window and puts them all over the back bumper. So, I mean, he's a walking billboard of scripture about being rich. You know what happens to him? Everywhere he goes, he is persecuted. On the job, at the house. And I'm the one doing it at the house because I ain't got it yet. In that area, I'm still going by what I see. We can't even afford to buy enough groceries every week. And you want to tell me how rich you are? Are you kidding me? So he's persecuted at work. He's persecuted at home. He tells everybody he comes in contact with. And then just about every time he does, they come back with something. God said he would supply your needs, brother. He didn't say he'd make you rich. What is all that stuff designed to do? Separate you from that word. Why? Because if that word remains in you, it's going to get some roots. And roots is your staying power. Without roots, you can't get no juice from the vine. Y'all hear what I'm saying? You can't get no nutrients from the earth. You can't get no water. Water don't come in through the limbs. Everything comes in through the root, and he is the root. We are the branches. So that word has got to stay in me. But the affliction, the persecution, everything that is coming to me is coming to separate me from that word, to get it out of my heart. Why? The devil knows. He's terrified. This is the kingdom. He came from heaven. Do you understand? He knows how God operates. I have no idea how long he was with him before he got kicked out. But he knew how it operated, Sandy. What did he do? He started saying out of his mouth, I will ascend into heaven. I will become like the Most High God. Why is he doing that? Y'all get it? You believe it in your heart and you say it. But how many knows? I don't care what you think you believe in your heart, devil or anybody else, and say out your mouth, your word will never override his word. And that's exactly what happened to the devil. He thought he would do something with that law because you can't change it. But no law operates against the law of God himself. So he said it, and he said it, and he said it, and he talked the angels into it, and God said, is that what you want? Is that what you think you're going to do? Bam! They wasn't in my fight. It's like lightning. Whoop. You are out of here. But that word, I've got to keep it. Because if I don't get no roots, when he comes, I can't draw no moisture. I can't draw no nutrients. Now, we've already read two. The way that you water the word. The Apostle Paul, right? He spoke to preach the word to him. Apollos came back and he watered that same word. So you got to keep hearing it and hearing it and hearing it and hearing it and saying it and hearing it. Y'all don't understand what I'm telling you. It's like I can't express this enough. I've been a Christian a minute. Y'all have to pick that up, you know, for y'all younger ones. Now, these elders, they don't know what I mean by that. It means a while. So I've been a Christian for a minute, you know, some a lot longer than me or whatever. And it's like some of this stuff I have noted in my head, but it's just really starting to get down in my heart. You are the sower of the Word of God in your own life. Now, you get born again, you don't know all of that. God starts sending the Word to you. You start going to church, your pastor or whoever's preaching the Word in you. But God fully, see, you hear your pastor say, if you got a need, plant a seed. That ain't just money. God's word is seed. So, if I need healing, what I got to do? I got to get in this book, and I need to find every word this book says on healing. Have y'all noticed I'm nicer? Doris, don't be so excited there. Johnny, he's always so sweet, and Samantha too. They just sit there and smile so nicely. They don't say nothing. Y'all remember the story that I told you that we went on our little family vacation thing and I said something Scotty get upset at me about and it talked to me for, I don't know, was it a day or two? He thought it was punishment. I actually enjoyed it. But anyway, that's not my point. I got to watch more uninterrupted TV. Something about that, man. Every time I start watching TV, he wants to talk. I don't want to talk now. I'm busy. But anyway, so he got upset at me and I told him, I said, okay, I'm sorry. I get tired of saying that. And I told him, I said, okay. I said, I think when we get home, I'm going to work on me. He probably thought, yeah, I'll be sure. But anyway. So we get home, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you help me. Because, see, everybody got issues. Some have done away with some issues. Some are still working on some issues. And some of you got issues you don't even realize you got yet. They'll come later, you know, with a little growth or whatever. But anger, for my entire life, anger and rage is one thing that has always tried to dominate me. It's kind of like Monty said something about hurt feelings or whatever, and I said, it's one and the same, ain't it? You hurt my feelings, I'm instantaneously mad. So that's something all this time I've had to work on. And I have been, have it more under my feet, so to speak, at other times than, you know, others. So I told the Lord, all right, and I said, Holy Ghost, I want you to help me. You are my helper. You're my teacher. You're my guide. You're my paraclete. The one comes alongside me and helps me. You're my comforter. Stand by all these things. I said, Holy Spirit, I ask you to help me right now. I'm going to do my part, but I ask you to help me. Remind me of the Word of God. Help me. Not do for me because he can't and he won't. Help me. Bring it to my remembrance. Whatever you have to do, you help me and I will never get mad and out of control again. Now for me, that's something. I mean, knows God is more than able. Do greater, abundantly above, greater than we can think or should ask, according to the power that's working in you. See, a lot of people, they want to come up here and want us to slap hands on them and zap their life. Zap by marriage, zap by attitude, zap by, we can't zap nothing. You're going to have to take the time to put the Word of God in. And then if you feel led, come. We lay hands on you. We pray for whatever that the case may be. Can't nobody zap me into not being angry or yielding to anger? So anyway, to this day, I have not. Now, have I felt? I have had some feelings. Just had some real recent. The Bible says if you'll put the Word in Proverbs, it'll talk to you when you're on your way. That's, I read the Amplified, so it's a little bit paraphrasing for King James. Well, I just had a, I have not. And that's been, I guess, close to a year, right at it, something like that anyway. I have not been angry to the point of losing control. Have not. Have I felt anger? Oh, you better believe it. Just had one. Just had a big one. And I was almost there, Sandy. Don't get up in my face talking to me. And don't holler at me. Because now that is, I'm telling you, you're my face, I'm going to punch you. It's like, I don't even think about it. I'm serious. I don't even, y'all can ask my face, I don't even think about it. Just something happens. And here we go. Or you start hollering and screaming at me. That's got to stop. I'm just telling you about me, my issues. We won't deal with yours right now. Well, lo
and behold, somebody, I asked them to do something. They was going to do it right there. I said, not right now, you know, blah, 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 long story short. And then they said, well, I just won't do it then. They started getting loud with me. I said, you better quit hollering at me. I'm not hollering at you, blah, blah, blah. I said, just don't do it then. And I'm telling Johnny, I felt it. I stood up, and I'm fixing to tear this place apart. Now, my mind tells me that. I mean, look at me. I'm overweight. I just turned half of 104, and so, I mean, my mind tells me I could still do a lot, but probably I couldn't do near as much as, I don't know. But I feel it. I'm about to tear this house down. All of a sudden, I have been reading since January 1st. I wrote it down on me a piece of paper. Since January 1st, I have been reading 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8 every day. And I stood up because I'm fixing to come unglued. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost did his job. He always does, if I put it in. I heard this. Love pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It just suffers it. And I said, I'm going to take a bath. Oh, 80-something. Now, I'm still, I'm a little calmer, but I'm still feeling a little bit. So I'm soaping my hair, and I'm meditating. All that suffers. And just suffers. Yeah, suffers the wrong. I'm telling you, it went away. It said, the Bible says, I mean, 1 Corinthians 13 says, love, the love of God, thinks no evil. What's that mean? I can't keep thinking about what they're doing to me. So how I quit thinking about it, I come out of the shower, I'm smelling good, I'm looking good, and I sit down over there with my stuff, and I start doing my stuff again. Just talk like nothing happened. Sandy, if I'd have come unglued, I might have had a black eye this morning. I don't know. Somebody else might have had something too, and I'm not going to tell you who it is. But y'all would have known. Hey, I've been here. But God is faithful. But my point to that whole thing is, this is April what, the 9th? Since January 1st, I have been putting that word in my heart and in my eyes. Proverbs says, don't let it depart from your eyes. Every single day. Well, I have missed a couple days and had to make it up and do double, you know, and all that. That giveaway day, getting up at 4:35 o'clock, that gets me off of my schedule there. So I usually have to read it when I get home from giveaway. But because I have been putting that word in, I just received a harvest of that word that, and I'm not going to say that because then you'll know who it is. Quit laughing, Beth. All right, now y'all just calm down. Good grief, we're 5 over. I got to stop. Anyway, I'm still something that I was. My house is still together. The paint's still on the walls. I still have an end table, all of that. And somebody still got their hair. I'm telling you, Johnny, had I not been putting that word in, I hate to think what would have happened. And it's not because I'm all that big and bad, I'm telling you. But that, when I get out of control, there's no limit to that. But see, that's a fruit that is in my spirit. Temperance. It's self-control. I have it, but I got to exercise it. And I need that word in me to produce that fruit that it just done to stop me from doing what I was going to do. And I've got to stop because time is up. Well, there's a quarter of a message of that page. I'm serious. I've almost.